Thank you, Serena. Hi, everyone. Good to see you. Good to be with you on this Monday, January 30th. So if you're new to meditation, these sessions are designed with you in mind, with the hope that you'll be able to get some good guidance from either Serena or me on how to meditate, or maybe you'll figure it out yourself. Seriously, the basics are so simple. We definitely can do it. We've learned this over many years of teaching and practicing. And so I'll guide you with the use of attention, radically simple use of attention, where we ask ourselves to focus on things happening in our experience. And we'll use the sounds we can hear, sensations in our bodies, the sensations in our bodies associated with the normal breathing process. And the reason we do this is there's something about this mental activity that has extraordinarily good effects. It can seem impossible. You don't have to take it on faith. You have to take it on faith enough to try. But you don't have to buy the whole package, but to get going. But it has been known for a long time in different traditions that taking time to focus attention on something relatively simple, our minds become calmer, more clear, more settled, and so forth. And where the emerging science is coming in now is showing, biological markers for these things. I just had a scientist visit my undergrad class this morning, Chloe Boyle here at UCLA, working on genetic expression and markers in the immune system associated with good effects of mindfulness practice. As we do this, we don't have to do it perfectly. Our attention will drift and so forth. We have that orientation to stay attuned to where we're trying to focus, but we know that actually our intelligence will kick in, is one way to put it. Like we're really good at keeping track of what we should be doing. And on a Monday, many of us have many things to do. And even if we don't have things to do, honestly, our mind makes stuff up, So we'll quite naturally get pulled away into thoughts. And what we do in those moments, when we realize we've drifted, we recognize thinking. We don't have to banish or squelch the thoughts, but we can practice both not taking them so seriously. We're giving ourselves a period of time where we don't have to do our normal things. And secondly, we do practice staying attuned. So we don't just let our minds drift. So we're not fighting our thoughts in this, but we're also kind of practicing not just being obsessed with our thoughts. It can be very normal. So we simply come back to that home base of the breath or the sounds or whatever we're doing. See, my email keeps dinging me because it wants me to pay attention. Maybe I'll go read my email for a while. Hello, no, I'm back. Let's meditate together. So eyes can be open or closed. Yeah, you might take a few deeper breaths, slightly deeper in breath and out breath. Just one way to begin, but maybe even a little sigh with the out breath. Yeah, and then letting the breath be normal. I'll invite you to come back to the breath in a minute or two, but for now, just notice the sounds that you can hear. The sounds taking place, nothing necessarily fancy, whatever is happening there, I don't know. In the midst of everything else that's happening for you, look, you can direct attention to this part of your experience. Not trying to hear everything or keep track. No need to try to get something out of the sensations. It's a very gentle focusing, gentle and yet definite, right? So we do have to try. We have to decide to try and then exercise some patience, but this is doable. When I said in the beginning, hoping to share something you can do, it's you know, up to you. But this isn't kind of designed to be an informational session so much as an opportunity to actually do it now. These sounds, it is this simple. And so you can stay with sounds if you wish. Come back to sounds whenever you wish. It's a good home base, so to speak, for our attention. It's also good to practice with our bodies. So when you wish, letting your attention settle into your body. What can you feel? So the same way we can tune into sounds, now we can tune into sensations. We can feel head, shoulders, arms, hands, torso, legs, feet. Not looking for special sensations, not having to monitor everything. Vibration here, pressure there, softness. Again, this is doable. We can do it even in the midst of lots of other things happening. You might have pain in some parts of your body, for instance. So you can find an area perhaps where there's no pain. If you can't, then shift back to sound. So we want a relatively neutral home base. The breath is pretty good for most of us. So as you feel into your body, it can be natural to notice, oh yeah, there are sensations that I can notice as the normal breath takes place. Slight rising, tensing with the in-breath, the abdomen, the chest. Falling, softening, dissolving with the out-breath. A flow of fine sensations at the nose as air comes in, as air leaves. So letting yourself kind of choose somewhere as your home base, chest, abdomen, nose. If the breath doesn't feel quite right, sensations in your hands, sensations in your feet, maybe back to sounds. If the choices are bewildering, no need to get it right or perfect. Just the breath at the nose is probably good enough, knowing when the in-breath begins based on those sensations there. When the out-breath begins. So we do this because this activity, this mental activity, has good effects. Calming, more clarity, more stability of mind, and so forth. We don't have to make that happen. It's easier than that would be. So we try it and see what happens. And then, of course, keeping in mind that try as we might, something will undoubtedly pull our attention away. And we don't fight that. It's normal. We include whatever pulls our attention away, often thoughts, just recognizing thinking, maybe even using a thought, thinking or planning, worrying, just some general recognition. Often emotion is in the neighborhood. So again, including that, if it draws our attention, the feel of anxiety or excitement or joy or sorrow. Just a kind of an open space for being real with the emotions. We try to feel them in our bodies, not so much mulling over the thoughts. But this is mostly permission, you know, taking this time just to be real. I can tune into what is really happening for me. And insofar as I want to manage emotions better, this is the mindfulness way of approaching it, giving ourselves that space to let those emotions be real. It's interesting. And sometimes they're really difficult and even overwhelming. So if that's what you find, just that shift of attention back to the feel of the breath or your hands, the sounds, it can itself be a discovery of, oh, you're right. I have some choice where attention is placed, and it can be non-trivial. So I'll be silent for a bit, and we can practice together. So we'll take a few more minutes for the meditation together. There's still time to start. It's sort of a joke, but it's not. Especially if you're new to this, it can take some time to settle in. So even noticing one breath is not a small thing. Can you find sensations, abdomen, chest, or nose, whereby you know the breath is happening, this in-breath, this out-breath? And for all of us, whether we're brand new or have a lot of experience, the fundamental activity is the same. Our past experience can help us remember what we're doing, remember more quickly what we're doing. But what we're doing is actually in the present period of time, right? It's connecting with things that are actually happening, sensations, knowing mental activity when it pulls our attention. Coming back. Taking an interest in our lives as they're unfolding in these moments. Not trying to shift or push or anything, even when we can notice that, yeah, I wish it were different. And finding the breath again. So we'll take a couple more minutes and then I'll ring a bell simply to end the meditation. So thank you. It's good to practice with you. It's good to meet up with you from near and far. By the way, you might wonder what I'm doing when I'm leading the meditation. And I'm meditating. I'm practicing what I preach. And some days it's actually quite noticeable. Today is one of those days. I normally meditate in the mornings. It's been a practice for 30 plus years. I started when I was a philosophy grad student with just a few minutes a day. And fortunately, no one had told me I needed to do it a certain amount of time. Otherwise, I would have encountered unnecessary failure experiences, I feel. But I kind of took a few minutes in the morning and found that it didn't seem to be making sense. And so it is part of my normal day in the mornings. And people have different styles with daily practices and so forth. But this morning, I had an early morning call with Carl Lai. It was on the East Coast, and so it was ridiculously early, and then one thing led to another, and I had my undergrad class, and so it was noticeable to take these moments with you. It's just like, okay, it's nice, it's good, it still matters. It may be different for other people who've meditated a lot. I've done a lot of long silent retreats and so forth, and I'm curious, I don't know, some research could be done on what it's like for others who've meditated a lot. But for me, it still remains alive, and not merely alive and vital, but important, really important, given all the stresses, the changes in life, and so forth. So at the Mindful Awareness Research Center, which is sponsoring these drop-ins, we do have a lot going on. In February, there are, speaking of Cara Lai, she will be leading a day-long on Zoom this Saturday, February 4th. It's coming Saturday. The day-long, I mean 10 in the morning to 4 p.m. in the afternoon Pacific time. And if this is an outrageous thought that there would be a six-hour retreat, no, it's, well, it might be, but it's not. It's not like you, the key is you don't have to do 6 hours all at once, which would be outrageous and impossible. And even if this 20 some minutes seemed like forever, well, I think you survived. I can't tell for sure. But the idea is we've done these in many different forms for over many years, and there will be plenty of my undergrad students there, you know, getting points, even though most of them started 3 weeks ago today. And so we welcome you at these in Zoom. We also, in February, will be offering two days of mindfulness on campus. My colleague Diana Winston on Sunday, February 12th, and Matthew Brensover will be in LA on February 25th. And then Matthew also will be doing a day of mindfulness the week later on Zoom. So please check our website for these events. And we're in a process of beginning to offer courses in person and so forth. And there also will be a number of kind of evening lectures, workshops that we offer. And we're in the period now of enrolling for the intensive practice program, which is a program designed to build some community over 10 months. And it gives you a ticket to all of the MAPS classes, the 6 week classes we offer, all these events like day-longs and lectures and so forth. And there is, there's a cost. It's $2,250 for the package, but there are also financial discounts. And so do not let finances be in the way of participating if you feel like this might be important for you. It actually can be really nice to have, even by Zoom, we learned 3 years ago that we can operate fairly well, in some ways even better with Zoom. Actually, the last in-person retreat I taught was with Cara Lai. We're teaching a spring break retreat for college students in Virginia in March of 2020. And we came out of that retreat and found out that things had shut down. So she's the last person I've taught with on retreat in person. We soon found that we could collaborate really well at long distances over Zoom. And So please also, you can practice these things on your own. You know, it's certainly nice to be able to connect with other people in this way, and in person also when we can. But just taking back in the 80s when I started, you know, there were no apps. There was an internet. I actually was pretty active. I did not create the internet, but I was pretty active as a grad student. And but we weren't connecting this way, I assure you. And so I did practice on my own quite a lot just to get going. And so it's a personal activity, but it also can be nice to have a group. And we have found that, like with the intensive practice program, that kind of one part of that is having a small group, having the whole cohort meeting once a month, but then having smaller groups, pods, connecting and sharing can be really fantastic. Yeah, so thank you. TR wants a tangent. I can go off on tangents. Give me a topic. Thank you for your attention, and we hope to see you.